Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General Legal Center and School. This podcast is for federal government attorneys navigating the complex intersection of acquisition and fiscal law and policy. I am your host, Major Ellie Sewell.
And I'm Major Jason Floyd.
And I'm Major Hyena Muniz. Today we're taking a journey through the world of NAICS code, North American Industry Classification System. We'll be looking at what they are and what happens when they're used incorrectly.
Yes, this is a good time to focus on the topic because of the recent successful appeal by Venergy Group LLC. Not only that, but I find that some junior attorneys who may know government contracts law generally, but may not really know what a NAICS code is or what it's for. I know I used to be that way.
Same. So I used to think that GAO handled all things when it came to pre-award complaints, but when it comes to NAICS codes or small business size status standards, the GAO is just not the right venue.
Exactly. But before we get into the NAICS challenge, let's talk about what they are generally.
Yeah, let's talk terminology. So there's two kinds of codes when you're talking about contracting under the FAR. So NAICS codes and product service codes, or PSCs. A NAICS code is a six-digit numerical code that defines the industry and comes with a size standard, meaning basically an upper limit in annual receipts that a small business in that industry can have. On the other hand, a PSC is a four-character code used to identify the kind of product being purchased. PSCs have no bearing on a firm's small business eligibility, and a single PSC can be identified in multiple industries. So it's not really the case that the PSCs are like a subset of NAICS. They're just two distinct things.
I thought I knew the difference, but that explanation might have some listeners still confused. The listeners, not me, just getting that straight. What are we actually talking about here?
Yeah, thanks for the joke about how I explain stuff, Hyun. I appreciate that. So here's an example for you. If industries were restaurants, the NAICS codes are the kinds of food. So you could have American, British, Mexican, Ethiopian. And the PSC is the actual menu item that you order. Cheeseburgers, tikka masala, and so on. And the PSCs could have multiple NAICSs attached. You could have an American version of a taco or a Mexican version of a taco, for example.
Or a British taco, Ethiopian taco.
And the FAR governs how we select that code. Specifically, you can find the rules at FAR 19.102 and 13 CFR 121.402. The contracting officer must select the single NAICS code that best describes the principal purpose of the product or service being acquired, and the FAR lists a few factors.
And the factors are helpful, but another handy reference is the OMB's NAICS manual. So the Office of Management Budget puts out this manual that they update periodically, and there you can find descriptions of the codes and examples.
That brings us to the NAICS appeal for today. The case is not technically a bid protest, although Venergy Group LLC filed a complaint about an error in the solicitation. These kinds of allegations are not heard by GAO. GAO's rules make clear that they will dismiss challenges to NAICS code determinations made by contracting officers.
You got it, Hyun. So that's because under the Small Business Act, the SBA is given the exclusive statutory authority to determine those kinds of matters.
Right. The proper forum is the SBA's Office of Hearing and Appeals, or OHA. And you have to be fast. A NAICS code appeal must be filed with OHA within 10 calendar days after the issuance of the solicitation, or within 10 days of an amendment that affects the NAICS code.
That is actually quite fast, especially during the solicitation period.
Yeah, the entire process is designed to be very fast because it's supposed to occur during the solicitation period. It's much faster than GAO's 100-day deadline for a bid protest. So for NAICS appeals, the KO is generally the one who represents the government's interests. That's a change. So when an appeal is filed within that 10-day window, the administrative judge from the OHA notifies the KO, who then has 15 days to respond. After receipt of the response, the administrative judge will often make his or her decision before offers are even due. So the SBA suggests that they generally resolve these things within about 18 to 30 days after filing.
And that's lightning fast for government work.
So is there an equivalent to like a CICA stay?
Kind of. The FAR requires the KO to notify the public via an amendment to the solicitation and withhold the award until OHA makes a decision. The KO can make award if she finds that doing so is in the best interest of the government.
And there is a right for other offerors to make statements in support of either party to the appeal, right, Hiana?
That's right. The KO's amendment that notifies the public about the appeal must also instruct so-called interested parties on how they can comment on the appeal.
Interestingly, these NAICS appeals can be taken to federal court too, after the plaintiff has exhausted her administrative remedies through this OHA appeal process.
So let's talk about Venergy Group LLC, SBA number NAICS 6377, decided in February 2026. This case is a masterclass in the principal purpose test. Jason, do you want to start us off with the facts?
Sure. So the Department of Veterans Affairs issued a solicitation for a project titled Construct Consolidated Boiler Spaces at one of the VA medical centers. Essentially, the VA needed a contractor to come in and build a facility that housed boilers for a medical center they have. They needed a brand new, dedicated HVAC facility. And since this was construction, the VA had to give what's called a magnitude.
And if anyone has ever worked in construction contracting, especially within the military, you know it is complicated. There is a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, so the estimated magnitude was between 20 and 50 million for this contract, and it was set aside for service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses, or SDVOSBs. The VA contracting officer assigned NAICS code 238220, which is for plumbing, heating, and air conditioning contractors, which that carries a size standard of about 19 million. And you can look at those numbers and already start to see a problem.
Oh, yeah. Right. Venergy Group filed a timely appeal at OHA, arguing the code should be 236220 for commercial and institutional building construction, which has a much higher standard of 45 million.
I can see the difference. A 19 million size standard is a lot different than a 45 million size standard. So we should talk about that in more detail in a future episode. But for now, common sense seems to kick in to say that a construction firm probably has a higher size standard because it needs more people with a diverse array of expertise and much more equipment than a firm that only installs HVAC equipment.
Yeah, that seems to be the gist of it. But what did the KO argue, Hiana?
The VA defended its choice using a quantitative argument. They looked at the independent government cost estimate and argued that 63% of the project's value was dedicated to plumbing and HVAC work, specifically the installation of three massive high-capacity industrial boilers. They essentially said the building was just an enclosure for a highly specialized mechanical system.
So it is notable, according to the regs, it's actually the KO that responds. There's no attorney involvement at this point.
Yeah, but Venergy effectively countered that argument by looking at the qualitative function of the project. So yes, the boilers are the operational contents of the building, but the contractor required the ground-up construction of a 5,000-square-foot facility, which had to be blast-resistant in an institutional-type building. It required structural steel, civil site excavation, and a new fuel tank courtyard. So Venergy also pointed out that the solicitation incorporated a Davis-Bacon wage rate determination, which expressly classified for building construction, mandating prevailing wage rates for iron workers and cement masons.
Basically, in the end, the administrative judge agreed with Venergy and reversed the contracting officer. He noted that while procurement is usually classified by the component accounting for the greatest percentage of contract value, you can't ignore the ultimate function of the goods and services. Crucially, the solicitation required the project manager to have a minimum of 10 years of experience in construction, not specifically HVAC.
And the judge did write that the true value of the contract lay not just in the boilers, but in the construction of that blast-resistant boiler enclosure, a function that a contractor specialized solely in HVAC stuff simply could not perform as a prime contractor. The VA was ordered to amend the solicitation to the NAICS code 236220 with that increased size standard of 45 million, and that was that.
So this is a really good example of why NAICS designations aren't always as simple as they might seem.
Yeah, be careful out there.
All right. Thank you, Jason and Hiana, for talking through a NAICS appeal, especially with the SBA. I know this isn't something that everyone deals with on a day-to-day basis, so it's good to get some information on it.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today in this episode of Far and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. We love to hear from our listeners. Please continue to reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn. The information can be found in the show notes from today's episode. The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that of the Judge Advocate General Corps, the Department of the Army, the Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.